with you here in Canada, and at the same time to broadcast this program for the benefit of our listeners out there in Cyberville. And if you know where that is, that's on the internet, and everybody can be in Cyberville. And so, inshallah, we're going to try our best to cover a topic tonight, which is of grave importance and interest to all of us as Muslims. And that's the subject, again, of the harsh questions that people are giving us about Islam. And I'd like to refer to a series of questions that were actually provided by one of our brothers named Muhammad. He doesn't say anything more than that, just Muhammad. And he had asked me to answer a series of questions, and all of them referring to the ayahs in the Quran, and they were presented in such a way as to represent it, to appear as though there are contradictions in the Quran. A'udhu billah from that. We seek refuge with Allah from such mischief as that kind of thinking. Maybe the person is not even really a Muslim, or maybe he took this from someone who is not Muslim, but definitely I've seen the questions offered before on websites, especially Arab Christians who know Arabic language and are trying their best to show Islam to be wrong. The interesting part about it is, on many of the questions that they ask, I can show you categorically that if they would accept the same kind of a test against their Bible, they'd have to become kafir, because the same thing mentioned in Bible mentioned in the Quran. But they don't care. It doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter if a Muslim goes to Christianity to them. They just want to see everybody leave Islam. And this is a mark, by the way. This is a true mark of disbelief. Is when they don't care what you go to, as long as you get out of Islam. What is that? What does that mean? And many of them are willing to see. If you said, okay, I believe nothing at all, they'll be happy with you. And it shouldn't be that way. Because when we talk to people, do you want to see people leave Christianity to become total Catholic, believe nothing? No. Would you like to see Jewish, they just don't believe anything at all? No. We have the highest respect for the people who are the monotheistic religion, even though they don't have Islam yet, because they're close. And I use the term yet because maybe they will be. After all, I used to be a Christian. My father used to be a Christian. My wife used to be a Christian. My daughters used to be Christians. And all of us, alhamdulillah, we came to Islam. My point in saying that, not to get you to say a lot of words, brother, but my point in saying that is that we shouldn't give up. And we shouldn't take the attitude that everybody is kafir and we hate them all. That's not our attitude. But when people have this attitude toward us, this should make us recognize what kind of condition they're in when they're so desperate they don't care what we go into as long as we get out of the clan. Who is that? That's Shaitan himself, isn't it? Because his desire and his goal is just to make sure everybody goes to hell. That's his desire, that's his goal, that's what he's after. So with that, I'm going to try to begin. I'll begin by reading those of you that are here with us today. You can see it, I'll put it up on the screen through the projector. This is a letter, an answer to one brother by the name of Muhammad. And we called it Statement of Contention and Purpose. Dear Muhammad, thank you for your letter of inquiry. Actually, you'd be happy to note that it was your particular letter of the many thousands that we receive on a regular basis that's being used by us about a tremendous program that we've long been working on for English speakers interested in learning more about the truth in Islam. It is particularly directed to those who are seekers of truth and of reasonable and logical mindset, because you cannot have a logical argument with an illogical person. So you will be the first outside of our organization to receive this initial program. This is our statement of contention and purpose, as spelled out clearly below, and we shall refer to the scholars for proper clarification and explanation of verses in question, and then inshallah we shall bring them into simple and understandable English. Thank you again, Muhammad, over your interest of the Islam and the Quran. May Allah guide you and all of those and the one who made up the questions trying to fool the Muslims. Yeah, I remember when I wrote that. Assalamu alaikum. Now, let's begin, and I'll show you what we said to him. And I'll mention to you again that this is only a part of the long letter. And it was dealing a lot with attacking verses in the Quran and saying this says this, but that says this, this says that, but which is it? And try to be real cute in the way they ask the questions. But each one of the questions I noticed had around it other ayahs, but if you read them, it was talking about disbelievers, interestingly enough, so that you realize that it's disbelievers who are going to try to make something out of this, and we'll go from there. We made a statement of contention about this, and that's all this particular one is. I don't need to read that to you, but if anybody wants this, it's called our statement of contention and purpose. All you have to do is send an email to us at GoToIslamTomorrow.com. You'll find our email is there. Sheikh Yusuf at American Online. That's SHEIKYUSUF@AOL.com. So, having said that, okay, I want to find the particular letter itself that had the content in it. Thought I had that ready. Nope, this is a question about godmothers, godfathers, and that. No, that's not it either. Right. There's questions when I finally find them in here are dealing specifically with the subject of what is the creation of Adam. Was he created from dirt? Was he created from nothing? Or was he created from clay? Or was he created from blood? Because all of these things are mentioned in the Quran, and they're trying to make it look as though Allah didn't know what he was talking about other than the stuff of Allah. Let me see this under this one right there. Yeah, here it is. These sheets are not real big, are they, Seth? If you're as big as me, imagine this, huh? Yeah, this is the rough draft that it says. Here's his question as it was originally sent. No bismillah, no salam alaikum. It just says, I need answers to these questions. He's going to spell it very soon. And it says, was man created from blood, clay, dust, or nothing? And then they quote, it says, in Surah Alaq, it says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, iqra bismillahir rahmanir rahim, khalaq, khalaqo insana min alaq. And the meaning of it is, read in the name of your Lord, who created mankind. You walk in front of the camera. Created mankind from an alaq. An alaq means a congealed clot of blood. It also means something shaped like a leech. It also means something which clings like a refrigerator magnet. Okay? And I've talked about this in other programs. That's not our subject, just to mention that's what the ayah says. And then he's mentioning in chapter 15, verse 26, Allah says he created man from sounding clay, from mud molded into shape. Then in Surah Al-Imran, verse 359, the similitude of Jesus before Allah is that of Adam. He created him from dust, and he said, Kun fayakun, be, and he was. Then in Surah Maryam, he said, but does man not call to mind that we created him out of nothing? And then, as is similar in chapter 52, verse 35, in Surah An-Nahl, the bee, 16 verse 4, Allah says he created man from a sperm drop, and behold, this same man becomes an open disputer. Interestingly enough, the very last statement is exactly what the person is doing right now. They are disputing about the ayahs of Allah. And the one writing this is disputing about the ayahs of Allah, the proofs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about this. The one who is challenging, he realized this is about you. Hello? You're in trouble. Let's take them categorically. We've already answered them, but because I can't find it in the computer, I'm going to have to do it from my memory, which is 60 years old, so it makes mistakes. As we already answered the first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told us that he created man from a congealed clot of blood. Then it says that Allah is talking about making man out of clay or mud. Then it says that Allah made Adam from dust. Then it says that mankind is made out of nothing. And then it says that mankind is made from a sperm drop, and all of this becomes man and open disputer. Anybody know the answer to all this? How could it be all these different things? Was it from nothing? Was it from dirt? Was it from dust? Was it from sounding clay? Was it from blood, or what was it? Are these the same thing? Of course they're not. Blood and dirt are not the same thing. And nothing and something are two different things. So how is this answer, and how should we begin? Well, first things first, and that is to begin as we did at that statement of contention, and that is to make a statement to the person before you begin it. And as I mentioned last night in our program here, you have to start out by telling them that this is my obligation, my duty, to tell you about Islam. And I cannot lie. Say these two things before you go anywhere else. I cannot lie. If I lie, I cannot go to paradise. So I've got to tell you the truth to the best of my knowledge. And if I don't know, we have to get some help to find out the answer. Right? Okay. Once they hear that, because that's not what they were ready for. They're ready to try to start a fight, put you down, hurt your feelings or something, right? But you're coming back and you're saying to them, no, this is my duty. I have to talk to you about this. And I have to tell you the truth. And then I suggest, I didn't have time to go into this last night because we only had like 28 minutes to give you that program. But I suggest that you invite them to tea, coffee, or something where you can sit together and treat him decent. Because you have to bear in mind that, number one, he is still your brother in humanity. All that came, Allah said this, don't play with this game. Allah said it in Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49. He told us that Allah brought all of us from one person and his mate. And then he made us into tribes and nations so that we'll recognize each other. So this is your brother in humanity. You may not like him, and you may not like what he believes and what he does, but you still have to give him his rights. What are his rights on you? His rights on you are to hear the truth about Islam. He will ask you about that on the Day of Judgment, so you have to do that. That's why I suggest that you take him to coffee, tea, or at least a nice setting where you can relax together and just begin opening up something and be friends, at least if you can. If not, okay, just tell him like it is. Then proceed forward and mention to him that many of the questions that we're getting today about Islam are not really questions about Islam. What they are is insinuations and attacks and very harsh statements against the faith of Islam, the people that hold to that faith, our Quran, our God, and our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of that, we have to clarify that some of the things that people are saying are statements, but they're not really questions. Many times they will say, I have a question, but it's not a question, it's a statement. And to give you an example of that, and I give them the same example, is to say, what if I ask you, tell me an answer to a question, but you have to answer yes or no. Is your mother out of jail yet? What can he say? How can you answer that question? He started to say, well, my mother never was in jail. No. It's a yes or no question. What will you say? Well, he stopped. He can't say anything because it's not a valid question, is it? So finally he'll say, my mother is not in jail. That's all he can say. He said, good, I'm glad she got out. And that's not fair. You're just being a wise guy. And we wouldn't really say that because, after all, it would hurt his feelings and it's improper. It's not in Islam to talk to somebody that way, is it? So why, when we wouldn't say that about somebody's mother, will you say it about God, about Allah, about his deen, about his book and about his message? Why? So, and tell them this is wrong to bring questions like that. Why don't you ask me if my mother's in jail? Why don't you ask me if my Prophet did so-and-so? Why don't you ask me if it says that in the Quran? Why don't you ask me if we believe these things, rather than to make these things as statements and then expect me to reply to a false statement? Well, a lot of times that sets them back on their heels and they go, oh, I didn't know that. Whoa. But they didn't. They really are ignorant, and they're just following what they read in the papers, what they hear on the television, the radio, magazines, and through the internet. When you understand that and you realize they really are ignorant, you can be more tolerant of them. And you must be tolerant. You must be patient. This is the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must be. This is not your option to go out and talk smart to them or ignore them. You must give them the message and then be patient. And you must pray for them. You know, Islam is the only religion that teaches that you must give your enemies their rights. Our enemies, even they have rights. Show me where it says anywhere in the Canadian, the British, or the United States Constitution that enemies have got all these rights. It wasn't until the Geneva Convention, and then they had to squeeze them to get that, and a lot of the people don't even adhere to that, and we have proof in Bosnia, and proof in Kashmir, proof in Philistines, and proof in Kosovo. Human rights violations is what they call it. But Muslims, we have to give rights to our enemies, and I'm telling you, we have to be patient with these people, and we have to speak the truth, stand out front for justice, even if it's against ourselves and our families and the lust of death in the Quran. So it's not optional. Okay, let's go back to this one particular question and talk about this. What we said when we answered the letter to them, and again, if anybody wants it, you can email us for a copy of it, is that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in the Quran that He created everything out of nothing. Okay? So whatever He started with was nothing, and then He made it into something by kun fayakun bi, and it is. Is that right or wrong? Okay. After that, whatever, let's say He made a rock, because a lot of people think that the first thing, Allah made this rock and then it blew up or something like that, which is fine. I'm not going to argue the point. I'm saying if it was, Allah is still the one that made the rock that blew up, yes or no? So He brought it out of nothing. Got it? So whatever that rock did after that would still be something, wouldn't it? But we don't believe in evolution in the sense that mankind came from a monkey or any other animal. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He created Adam in the same way that He created everything else, out of nothing. The dirt that He used to make Adam out of originally was nothing, right? So you could say that human beings came out of the soil, and if it says that, and somebody wants to argue that, we're not going to argue. How can you argue it? It says it in the Bible, and it says it in the Quran. The Christians and the Muslims have no point to argue, because both books, in the Jewish Torah, it says what we have exactly, sounding clay. Exactly the very thing it says right here, sounding clay. So why would you want to argue about this point? That's really stupid. It says that the similitude of Jesus in front of Allah is that of Adam. He created him from dust, and then He said, be, and He was. The reference in Arabic here is to Adam, not to Jesus. He created who from dust is Adam. But the reference to being like Adam, read the verses to go with it and you'll understand, because when Allah created Adam, kun fayakun, be, and He was, right? And that's exactly, go read the verses. That's what I did today. I took all the verses and put them in context so the person could see it. It says that Miriam, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was confronted by Jibril, the angel Gabriel, and he told her she was going to have a baby. And she said, how is this possible when no man has touched me and that I am a virgin and I am not unchaste? Meaning she doesn't run around. Okay? The angel said, for Allah, it's easy, He merely says, when He wants anything done, He merely says, kun fayakun, right? So this is exactly what He said in the creation of Adam, who He made out of dust, and here He's going to make Jesus out of Mary with no father. Make sense? So there's no inconsistency here whatsoever. Talking about a sperm drop. The sperm drop, as we know very well, it comes from the man, and it fertilizes the egg, the zygote, in the woman, and this causes the germination, development of the egg, which clings alaka to the wall of the uterus. Got it? So where's the problem here? This is not an inconsistency. It's just because Allah put it in different places, in different parts, and they're trying to pretend like it looks like something else. But actually, in one of the ayahs in the Quran, which they bothered not to mention, Allah did put them in order, and He said He started with this, and He moved to this, and He goes into Arabic language, and starting from the sperm, and then going to the egg, and then going to the germinated egg, and then talking about it clinging to the wall of the uterus, the alaka, and so on. moves out, when the development stage, when it's like chewed lump. All of this is mentioned, and it's in a book of science, as a matter of fact, by a Canadian professor. He is Dr. Keith Moore, and he's a professor emeritus from, not biology. Embryology, right. That's it. So, if referred to in a book, you can read it. We give the book away free. Anybody can write to us again on the internet. We have another commercial for IslamTomorrow.com. And that book is called A Brief Illustrated Guide to Understanding Islam. Very excellent book. We highly recommend it. And you can see this and many other facts right there. Nice pictures. Kids like the pictures. Have a lot of fun with it. And then it says he created man out of nothing. All right? Is it true that Allah created everything out of nothing? So it doesn't matter. That means he created trees out of nothing too, in the sky and everything else. So what? What's the big deal here? What's your problem? The death that he created Adam out of was nothing. But he is referring in one case to insan, and the other case he's referring to Adam. Adam and Beni Adam, the sons of Adam, is referring to humankind or mankind. But when he refers to insan, insan is another word for human beings. It's a description of our characteristics. There's a difference. Beni Adam, the sons of Adam, Adam and all of his sons, this is clear what that is, right? Everybody have that in their mind. The word insan is the Arabic description of human beings for a reason, because it comes from the same root word as the word to forget. It is the opposite of azkar, to remember. Because human beings were created to forget. And Allah constantly tells us to zikr Allah, adkar Allah, remember Allah. In the letter I reminded him that he should consider that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that he took all of the souls out of the backbone of Adam. That includes you and me and every kafir, every Christian, every Jew. Every single soul was taken out of the backbone of Adam and in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah asked us, am I not your Lord? And we all said yes. He erased that from our minds, and we were caused to forget that meeting. That is why we are called insan. Then he put us back into the backbone of Adam, and we've been coming generation upon generation ever since. That's why the constant reminder in Quran, remind them that the reminding may be of a benefit to them. Yes or no? Okay, so we understand this is the problem the human beings forget. They forget about their Lord. They forget about who created them in the first place. They forget about the one who sustains them and takes care about them. They forget about the one who brought them to life, who will cause them to die, and who will cause them to be resurrected again. And they will have to be in front of him again on the day of judgment. They've forgotten all of that. And that's what the Quran is about. That's what it teaches. That's what Islam is about. That's our main teaching. It's as simple as that. And it says in the Quran, إِنَّ لَلَّهِ وَإِنَّ لَيْهِ رَجِعُونَ. It means that we came from in front of Allah, we're going to go back in front of Allah for judgment. It doesn't mean we came out of Allah, we're not a part of Allah, and we're not trying to get back into Allah like some misguided people try to represent Islam. That is not our meaning. We don't consider that God is everywhere or that we're inside of God or something like that. That's some other religion called pantheism. We spoke about that earlier. So, now, alhamdulillah, what we do when we give the answer like this is to ask them, did you not stop to think that when all of this has already been represented in the Quran clearly in one ayah, staging all of this all the way through, how did somebody go through the Quran and just pull out the parts where it was talking about parts of the ayah and then represent that to you as though it's a question and try to pretend like there's a contradiction? So it should make you wonder, who did this? Who wrote this? Who made this up? Who's sending this? Because if they're smart enough to read the Arabic in the first place, smart enough to study the Quran, well enough to know where all, and they named every, there's no verse that they missed except the ones that put it categorically in order. So it means what? This is somebody who hates Allah, they hate the message, and they hate the messenger, and they hate this Quran. And if you're following hatred, what are you doing? what kind of religion do you have that's based on hatred, that you have to hate something, you have to try to attack something? You want to look for contradictions? Allah clearly stated in the Quran, if it were from other than Allah, you would find within it many contradictions. And to this day, over 1400 years, nobody has found a single, although they try to make it look like it with these crude and rude attempts at so-called questions. We as Muslims, we resent their attitude of the ones who created this, and we feel sorry for the fools, the ignorant, who come along and then perpetuate it, even amongst the Muslims. Now it's time for me to mention to you that when you go to websites that attack Islam, then you have helped them. And every time you forward any email that tells about going to websites that attack Islam, then you are part of the problem. But ask yourself a question. When was the last time you promoted our website? When was the last time you promoted IslamicCity.com? Islam.org and IslamicCity.com are the same organizers in California. They have some of the best work. Two brothers from Pakistan and one brother from Syria working together day and night on this project for years. And by the way, one of them's mother also, it's the funny story, I have to tell you the funny story. I was giving a lecture in Karachi on the day of Sir Syed Ahmed University's big annual event. It was a semi-annual, or I forget what it was. It was big. I think it was like a 100-year celebration or something. Anyway, after the speech, many people come up to you always after the speech, you know. But this one lady stood there, waited and waited, until finally the people let her get through. Old lady, she came to me and she gave me a piece of paper, a little card, and she said, when you go back to the United States, would you please help my son? He and his friend need some help with the website, and they need somebody like you to tell them how to do it. I said, okay. And I looked at the card, Islamic City. I said, ma'am, I know these brothers, and I'm their student. I can't. So, but she insisted. Then she came to the United States, and now she loved her son so much about the subject, she wanted to work with him out there and help the people come. She loved Dawah. The lady loves Dawah so much. So they have on their website now something that she actually developed, wanted them to put it on there. They put it on there so that they're on the line talking with people on the telephone, and when somebody makes a how do they put it on the website. And when I went out there to California for a lecture, she came to my lecture with some homemade food that she brought for me to eat. And what do you think about this? I love Pakistan. By the way, our Pakistan say, hey, make this expensive. Do we have anybody who says what I'm saying is, are you from Pakistan? And I said, I'm from Pakistan. Do we have anybody here tonight that is from Egypt? Any Egyptian? Ah, well, mashallah. Any Saidi? Anybody Saidi? What? Ah, Saidi. Mashallah. All right, I'll do that. Did you hear about the two Saidi? No, I'll see you later. Anyhow. I'm a Saidi in Pakistan. I call it Saidi Bill. Yeah. So, alhamdulillah. You know what? I do like to have fun, and I like to enjoy being with the Muslims, and I think this is a very important part of our religion that we've left off. One of the other things I'll do to finish up, I'm just going to give you a little taste of some of the other questions they brought. I'm not going to give all the answers tonight. You can write to us if you want them, or visit us on the internet when we have more broadcasts like this. The next question, he said, is there or is there not compulsion in the religion of Islam according to the Quran? Now he's going to try to make it sound like there's some contradiction here. And he quotes, of course, you know what he's going to start with in Surah Baqarah, Abdullah bin Shaitan al-Razim, La itraf al-Din. Let there be no compulsion in Islam, right? That's what he's referring to. Then he goes on, though, and he says, that, and he's taking this from Surah Al-Tawbah, naturally, immediately let's go to Surah Al-Tawbah, which does not have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How many of you know that? 113 surahs in the Quran all begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim except one, supposed to carry more. And there's a reason. Because, as Chuck was telling us just the other day, I was listening to one give the subject of this, I guess it was last night, Zachary Dean, Zachary Knight. He said about this, that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking directly and ordering something, that this is something serious, that he's not playing around, and he's talking to everybody in general, there's no bismillahir rahmanir rahim, because this is not talking about being merciful and kind and just. At this point, he's talking about put up or shut up. He didn't say that, I said that. That's Texas translation. I'm going to read it for you though. And Allah says, and an announcement from Allah and His Messenger to the people assembled on the day of Hajj, that Allah and His Messenger hereby dissolve any treaty obligations with the Mushrikeen, and they put pagans, sometimes they use infidels. These are not good translations of Quran, by the way. And if you repent, it would be best for you, but if you turn away, know ye that you cannot frustrate Allah and proclaim a grievous penalty to those who reject faith. Take that out of context, it sounds like you're telling people that, hey, we're breaking off everything, we've decided we're just going to be mean to you, and you here to believe what we believe, and we're going to kill you. Now that's how they're translating it, and it has a lot of holes in this, because they will say infidels, and then they'll turn around and say infidels are Christians and Jews, and that's not true. Allah does not distinguish them that way, He calls them Ahlul Kitab. Now, if the Ahlul Kitab hear about Allah and His message and His messenger, and then do not accept Islam, then they will be in hell. That's true, because the Prophet said that in the good hadith, and it's in relation to a number of verses in the Quran. For instance, in Surah Al-Imran, when Allah says, more or less, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ الدِّينِ. If anybody wants a religion other than Islam, Allah is not going to accept it from them, and in hereafter they're going to go to hell. They will be with the losers. And the Prophet ﷺ said about that ayah, this what I just told you. Okay? But at the same time, this means if they understood the message and rejected it, and they have to understand it, and if a lot of the Muslims don't understand it, how are they going to tell them? The message is that Allah is one, He has no partners, all worship is for Him alone. There's your message. Got it? Now, if they understood that and rejected it, obviously they'd be in trouble. Their own book tells them the same thing. God is one. Worship Him and obey His commandments. This is mentioned all through the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's not until somebody named Paul comes along and starts changing all the laws, and then it gets crazy. But I'm talking about the Gospels themselves are very much in support of the Old Testament. I want to quote to you from the Bible and see what you get out of it. Listen to what it says. And then think about what does it mean. If the Bible's still true, if they say it's not true, then that's fine, that's their book. But if they say it is true, this is what it says. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17, 18, and 19, more or less it says these words in English, and they claim that Jesus said it. In the red letter edition of the Bible, these would be red letters, because they always highlight whatever He says in red, and it says, think not, don't think. Got me? Don't think I came to destroy the law, the Torah, and the prophets, meaning the other books and what the prophets have taught. I did not come to destroy the law and the Torah and the prophets, but rather I came to fulfill, and not until all things are accomplished, shall one jot, iota, tittle. I use different translations of the same word, and in Greek, it's iota, and it means the smallest character, like Hamza. You know, we have Hamza in the Arabic language. The smallest letter will not in any wise be lessened from the law. Meaning, to the very end, he said, until all things are accomplished, not a single little dot is going to change from the law. And that's amazing. Then he continues, he doesn't stop, that's enough, isn't it? But he continues, and he said, whoever breaks the least commandment and teaches that, meaning that it's okay to break it, he'll be the least in the next life, as the lowest scumbag in hell. Okay? Good way to say that? But whoever does the commandments and teaches this, he'll be the highest in the kingdom, meaning the heaven, and then look at what he says. Unless your taqwa, your piety, your righteousness is more than the religious leaders of that time, the Pharisees, you'll never enter paradise. Paul was a Pharisee. The very person in question was exactly what Jesus said, a Pharisee. He said, you're going to have to exceed that. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He wanted to be the top. He was engaged and betrothed to the daughter of the highest of the Pharisees. Her name was Poppaea. She didn't want to marry him. She was a Jew. But she didn't want to marry him, so she ran away from home. She became an actress on the stage. And Nero, Caesar, married her. Yes, and he's not a Jew, by the way. This is a true story. And she was married to him when Rome burned. This is according to the history by Josephus. So we know that there's some problem with this man because he has no girlfriend anymore. He's not going to get married. His own boss, her father, told him, no more letters for you. When you go to Damascus, you're finished. So on his way to Damascus, he comes up with this idea that he saw a blinding light who told him that it was Jesus, and the blinding light told him that he's got a new message, and then his new message is what? He said he's dead to the law, and the law is dead to him. The law doesn't mean anything. He said, like circumcision, you know, cotton, you get cotton when you make circumcision. Huh? Ketan. Ketan. Yeah. I'm glad I got Shetty to help me. It means, though, the circumcision, when a baby is born, a little boy, you're supposed to cut the skin of the private part. But Paul said in the Bible, he said, no, you don't have to do that anymore. He said, circumcision, ketan, is of the heart. Ketan.
Ketan. Ketan.
Like he said. Of the heart. Of the heart. That reminds me of the sisters. Hijab is of the heart. They should get to know Paul. In fact, if they're not careful, they may get to know Paul in the next life. Hijab is of your heart, huh? La ilaha illallah. I guess your beard's in your heart too, isn't it? Whatever. I always get myself in trouble about this time. I'm going to shut up. Okay, so some of the other questions they come up with here, they start talking about what Allah said in Surah Al-Fatiha, as we mentioned, and it said that really these people, the Tafsir of the Quran is talking about people who had already broken their treaty with us first. The treaties were already broken. There wasn't anything left except for us to say, okay, you broke it. It's dissolved. It's gone. So, we'll get back to square one. And this is what they have consistently done time and again for the last 1400 years. It's not new stuff, is it? Is this a surprise? Hello? I guess not. And so it was no surprise then. But Allah, even then, he's giving room for these people to repent of what they've done and stop. Some of the people came into Islam, said they were Muslims, and just did it to try to mix up the Muslims and then leave. And that's when Allah gave other orders, either come back the right way or get the heck out of Dodge. You know, don't keep coming around and playing like that, because it's wrong. We don't, by the way, Muslims do not train other Muslims how to go to Christian churches and pretend you're a Christian and then try to convert them to Islam. We've never done that. I've never heard of any organization where we pretend to be Christians or Jews or fire worshippers or Hindus, and then get in there and go, oh, don't you think that, you know, Jesus is nice, but we got him over here and he doesn't even die. You can come be with us. We'd never do that. Yet they're doing that to us, and they have people being paid to do this. They have universities for this in South Carolina. If you want to go to Columbia, South Carolina, where Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid Adli, by the way, if Sheikh is listening, salam to you, because this is, by the way, through his network, internet network we're working with, and Sister Layla, that we're broadcasting tonight, to ask him what's going on in his own town, because it used to be called something like the International Bible College or something, and they changed it, the name, or South Carolina Bible College, they changed the name of it to something like International Institute or some other name, so it doesn't sound like Bible College anymore. And in fact, all they're doing there, and they have it published in the magazine called Mother Jones Magazine about a year ago. It came out in January. And it exposed them, because what they're trying to do is teach people how to go into Muslim countries and pretend that they're Muslims, or pretend that they're there for medical treatment for Muslims, or education for Muslims, and then try to be subversive in religion and try to get into Christianity. And when they get caught, they swear they're not doing it, until they get back home, and then they laugh in the face and say, yeah, we did it. And that's what they did in Afghanistan. That was the girls that got caught over there doing that. And we didn't kill them. They said we'll kill them, but they were proselytizing, they were lying, and yet we did not kill them. Otherwise, how did they get home? How did they get back to Waco, Texas, with the other wackos, and pull that off? How? I'm asking you a question, because in Islam, we can't even lie to begin with. We started out by saying that. And you've got a religion out here that's based on lies. They said, where do you get that from? Can you go into our countries and lie and pretend that you're a Muslim, or lie and pretend you're there to help us, and all the time your intention hidden in your heart is to try to secretly twist meanings around, corrupt ayahs, corrupt hadith, and then try to convert people to your religion? Yes or no? And if they lie and say anything else, bring the evidence. We've got the proof. Their own people are sick of them doing it. A lot of good Christians don't like that, because they know it's not right. And may Allah guide them and all of us, I mean. But pay attention and think about this. Our religion forbids a lie, even what you call a white lie. The only exceptions in Islam aren't even lies, but they're where you don't have to say enough truth that you will offend somebody. For instance, if your wife came home, what do you think of my new dress? You cannot tell her it's so beautiful, I love it, when you hate it. But you can say, well, gee, I never saw anything like that before. And also to help friends get back together who've been fighting, you can go to the friends and tell them, you know, this brother out here, he's really, you know, sorry, he did so-and-so, and he'd like to be back with you, and I know you'd like to be back with him, to try to bring some reconciliation, and you can do that. But you can't lie. You can't stand there and say, and if you do it, he said he'd give you $50. Because that's a lie. He didn't say that. So in Islam, it's clear that the Prophet ﷺ even mentioned a person could be in a battle fighting for the sake of Allah and then get scared and turn around and run away and still be considered a believer. Because they asked him. He said, yes, it could happen. It could happen. But when they asked him, could he tell a lie and still be a believer? He said, no. No. So I'm talking now to our youth. You guys, listen to me. Our Prophet told us, if you lie, you are not a Muslim. Don't lie. This puts a black spot on your heart, and you do it enough times, your whole heart becomes like a black rock. It means no more guidance for you from Allah. And you will think you're okay, and you're not. And that's the worst possible condition for anybody to be in. And I would like to mention that I'm not trying to challenge our Christian brothers and sisters that are out here, you know, trying to do good. I appreciate that and ask Allah to guide them to do more good until He guides them to the very best. Ameen. But at the same time, if they don't think there's any lies in what they're doing, I'll ask one question and I want a serious answer. And I'm not playing the game this time. It's not about how old were you when your mother got out of prison. I'm asking you, how old were you when you found out there was no Santa Claus? Because that's something that every Christian child has to deal with someday in their life. That Santa Claus doesn't exist. There is no fat old man with a big beard. Now, we do have one, by the way, in Islam. You know who it is? Me. But I don't wear a red suit. And I don't have any magic reindeer, and I'm not going to give you any presents. I like that. But I'm saying that every one of these Christian children have to go through a point when they realize their mother lied to them. The dearest person in the world lied to them for 8 to 10 years. Their father, the next most dearest person in the world to them, lied to them for 8 to 10 years. depending on how old they were when they found out there's no Santa Claus. Their grandmother, grandfather, all their aunts, all their uncles, all their cousins, every single member of their family lied to them. And when I went to my mother and I said, there's kids at school today telling me there's no Santa Claus, and I'm waiting for her to tell me, oh yes, there is, go back and tell them we have proof. And instead, she just said, don't tell your sisters. You know how I felt? I felt like it was the end of the world. Not because there's not a Santa Claus, not because there's nobody who is all-seeing and all-hearing as they make him out to be, like a law. He sees everything, he hears everything, he knows if you've been bad or good. You know what it says in their songs about Santa Claus? He's going to reward you if you're good, punish you if you're bad. He's going to get coal in your stocking or sticks in your stocking at Christmas. They used to tell us, who is the only one who punishes and the only one who rewards? Allah. Who's the only one who sees and hears everything? Allah. They compared Santa Claus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah wa ta'ala. And I hear Muslims say, well, I don't see why we can't celebrate Christmas with them. They can celebrate either not. Are you crazy? That's just light. Do you know where these lights come from, by the way? From fire worshippers. Same thing with the birthday cake with those candles on there. You blow them all out, you defeated the fire god, and you get your wish. What the hell are you doing? You say, oh, it's just a little fun. Oh, yeah, we see how much fun it is in hell. Allah does not accept shirk. That shirk, man. That goes right along with a lucky rabbit's foot, lucky horseshoe. Do you ever think about a rabbit? He didn't think it was lucky to lose his leg, did he? We're way out here, you know what I'm saying? It's time to wake up. As they say in Saudi Arabia, it's time to wake up and smell the kahwa. Anyway, I'm going to wind this up. They went out down the line, they asked about that. Then they asked, who was the first Muslim? Muhammad, Abraham, or Jacob, or Moses? And then they quote out of the Quran, 39:12, it says, and I am commanded to be the first of those who bow to Allah in Islam. Or at some of the Prophet. Then Musa, Moses, came to the place anointed by Allah, and his Lord had addressed him, and he said, oh my Lord, show yourself to me that I may look upon you. And Allah said, by no means can you see me, but look at the mountain. If it abide in its place, then shall you see me. In other words, if it doesn't move, then you can see Allah. And immediately the mountain fell down and turned into dust. And that's when Moses fell down. And when he recovered, it said he swooned, and that's not a good translation. So when he recovered his senses, he said, glory be to you. To you I turn in repentance, and I'm the first to believe. That's their point. He says, I'm the first to believe. That's in chapter 7, Araf 143. And then in Baqarah, it says, and this was the legacy that Abraham left to his sons, and so did Yaqub, Jacob. O my sons, Allah has chosen the faith for you. Then do not die except in the face of Islam. This one doesn't even say the first, does it? But there's reaching and grasping at straws to try to find a contradiction. And by the way, who is the first to submit in Islam? Me. I am. And each one of you should say the same thing. What does it mean? Does it mean that you're the first in categorical order? No, of course not. Because I would like to call your attention to something. Before Adam, there were jinn. And from the jinn, there were Muslims, and some of them were submitted. So how would you know who was the first one who submitted? Hello? It's a stupid analogy. It means that I want to be in the front. I want to be in the front. I want to be on the front line. I want to be the first to give up to Allah. But they don't want to give up to Allah, they want to argue about it. That's really stupid. It's like arguing about who should be in the front line at the masjid while you're sitting at home talking about it. Isn't it? They don't want it. They just want to knock everybody else away from it. We go to the next question. They said, that
we lost sound, Sheikh Yusuf.
54321, I guess you got it now. Thank you, sister. I'm glad you said it. Anytime I go off, do come on and say that, because otherwise I won't know. Put me back where you, the last thing you heard, inshallah. Last thing you heard from me? Hello? Are you there? Oh, I'm broadcasting. You can't do that. I'm sorry. Duh. That was really stupid, okay? Just type it. I'm looking now. What was the last thing that you heard from me as far as what I said? What part of it? Where did we lose you at? You heard everything? Okay, I'll kick back in. What we were saying was that we were in Surah Al-Araf, I think is the last one, was it? An-Nisa verse, here we are. Chapter 4, verse 48, and when Allah said He did not forgive anybody to set up partners with Him in worship, and anything less than that He can forgive. And then they quote, Allah forgives not partners set up with Him, but He forgives anything else. We said that. The people in the book, that's the Christians, ask you to cause the book to descend from heaven, as some are Christians and Jews. Indeed, they asked Moses for an even greater miracle, for they said, show us Allah in public. But they were dazed from their presumption with thunder and lightning, yet they worshipped the golden calf, even after clear signs came to them. So Allah forgave them and gave Moses manifest proofs of authority. And they're trying to make it look, because Allah forgave them for what they did, that this is contradiction. Audhubillah. Astaghfirullah. What about the thousands of people at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who entered into Islam, and every damn one of them at that time, they were damned. When they came into Islam, they became useful. They were sahabi. But they were damned before that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes or no? Because they were out doing the worst despicable act there is. They were worshipping other than Allah. Yes or no? Every single one of them except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worshipped something other than Allah. Am I right or wrong? Okay, so when they came to Islam, did Allah forgive them or not? I used to be a Christian. I entered Islam. Did Allah forgive me? I hope so. I didn't think that I'm going through this for nothing. The point is, and this is what they don't want you to mention, and they go through the whole Quran just looking and looking. Don't look at the guidance. Close your eyes. Only grab up what you want to make a fitna, trouble, right? The point is, you have to die as a mushrik to go to hell. But if he repents from it, and the Jewish people at the time of Moses repented, they asked for forgiveness, and Allah is what? Who Allah is before Rahim, He is the one that's the forgiver and the merciful. Yes or no? Okay, alhamdulillah, so He forgave. So what, you don't want to be forgiven? The same people attacking this, they don't want to be forgiven. Okay, yeah, Allah grant them their wish. I mean, that's what they want. Okay, go for it, baby. Now it said, does Allah change His decrees or not? Alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah. They quote from the Quran, and they quote Surah 6, verse 34, rejected were the messengers before you. Meaning the people turned them down, they didn't listen to them. Even though they had patience and constancy, sabr is the Arabic word, they bore the rejection of their wrongs until Allah's aid did reach them. There is none that can alter the words and decrees of Allah. Already you have received some account of those messengers. Everybody understand that? You follow it? Okay, it means, very simply put, that nobody can change what Allah has said. Okay? Nobody can alter Allah's decrees. But it doesn't mean somebody can't change the Bible. There's a difference. What Allah has decreed is going to happen. Kun fayakun. Nobody can interrupt that, right? But if Allah will, He can allow people to corrupt. He can let people corrupt the Quran if He wanted to, couldn't He? But He's promised that He's not going to let it happen until the sun comes up from the west. Is that right? Okay, and where was it coming this morning when you got up? I don't know. I didn't see it. I was busy. Still in the east? Alhamdulillah. Shake said it's still in need for good to go. Mia, mia. Come to the left. Then it says, it's quoting, it says, from the same story, 6, Ayah 1:15, the word of your Lord does find its fulfillment in truth and justice. None can change his word, for he is the one who hears and knows everything. So this confirmed the same one before. None of our relations do we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, except that we substitute something better or similar. Don't you know that Allah has power over all things? And then that's in Baqarah 2:106. And then finally in An-Nahl 16:101, Allah says, when he substitutes one revelation for another, and Allah knows best what he reveals, they say, thou art but a forger, but most of them understand not. Do people today say that Muhammad forged the Quran? Do they say he made it up? Do some people say he wrote it? Yes, they do. The enemies of Islam say this all the time, yes or no? Okay, that's what Allah just said. And he's saying that when he reveals something, nobody can change his decree, but if they corrupt the text, he can replace it with more text, and he can keep doing that, can he not? But he's allowing them to corrupt it to start with, didn't he? Did he reveal something to Enoch? Yes, that was the first, Idris. And then to Ibrahim. And then to Musa, alayhi salam. We know they had this because Allah said, Suhufa Ibrahim wa Musa. Sabbi Hisma Rabbika Allah, this is the end of it. Talking about the scriptures that came to Moses and Abraham. They had scripture. David and Solomon had scripture. And it used to be that David used to recite it so beautiful, even the animals would stop to listen. Yes or no? And Jesus, peace be upon him, had scripture. We know that they had scripture, they had text. But we know that it's gone, it's not existent anymore. But if you want to know what it was, read the Quran, because it's in the Quran. We can prove their book was existing. They don't have to use all these 5,000 different versions of the Bible. You don't have to go there. We agree with you. We know you had a book. It says right here, you had, past tense, is the verb, to have. As in, no longer do you. It's gone, hello. But what you have is left is copies of corruption. Some of it's still pretty good. And you can compare it to the Quran to find out what's still true. But don't compare the Quran to that to think that you're going to see what's wrong with the Quran. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah. I'm going to wrap it up here. There's more on these subjects, but they're all just as futile and foolish as what I just read to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, guide them, guide everybody. Ameen. And you've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live, L-I-V-E, live, all the way from Toronto, Canada. We're here at Masjid Omar bin Khattab, and we're having a pretty good time. Everybody have a good time? All right. Let me teach you how to say salam like Muslims do in Texas. Everybody know how to do that? I didn't get a chance to tell you that last night, did I? Huh? Well, see, I know that you guys, when you're in Pakistan, you have your own little greetings you give each other. And people in the Balad Hashem, they have their own little greetings. And people that are in the Hijaz, they have their own greetings. And people carry that along with Salaam Alaikum, don't they? Salaam Alaikum Marhaban. Salaam Alaikum Kaifa Halik. Kaifa Ahwal. Eshwanet. Wakala Abiyaz. Yeah, and so, but in Texas, we came up with our own, because in Texas people say, howdy y'all, you know, you ever heard it? So, well, I have to say something, I come from the Muslim, so we say, As-salamu alaykum, y'all. Let me hear you say that. No, you got to get together on that one, the people back home didn't hear that, let me hear it again. Wa alaykum salam, y'all. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting live. We had a pretty good time, and we thank all of the brothers and sisters back home and everywhere for listening and tuning in. We ask you to visit us again on the internet. This was sort of impromptu. Hope I didn't have to upset anybody with this. And Sister Layla, may Allah preserve you, keep you strong, give you good health. Thank you so much. And Sheikh Muhammad Said Adli, we thank you, brother. And Sheikh, you're my Sheikh. I love you too much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.